present Episode 3 of Barry Lennon by Christopher Fitzsimon. Vera McConkey, the local telephonist in Barry Lennon, has enlisted the help of Fonsy Doherty, estate agent and entrepreneur, in her campaign to save the manual exchange and her job. Her shopkeeper sister Muriel advises Fonsy on improvements for his hotel. But their major concern is the hoped-for demolition of the historic courthouse, which Fonsy would like to see replaced by a car park. The year is 1953. Barry Lennon.
Do you like a flock, Fonsy?
A flock of what, Muriel?
A flock wallpaper. It is a kind of velvety touch.
Oh, the furry wallpaper. That'd look very classy here in the lounge bar. Aye, classy. Do you remember what I was saying about the Minister for Posts and Telegraphs and his daughter's wedding, Muriel?
Oh, it was on the Vindicator. One of the young McKeowns of the legal firm in Letterkenny, isn't it?
Oh, aye, they were fierce wild lads. But they've all grown up as solicitors now. Oh, it's a good match. Joe McMonagle will be making a tour of the constituency a few days before the wedding. It's time he showed his face around here, and he knows it, or he won't get the turn of this election.
And you'll tell him the way Vera has been victimized. Victimized by officials of his own department.
I'll come to that in the course of conversation. And you know another thing? Terry White from the opposition party is coming to live in the constituency.
How did you hear that?
I got a circular from him this morning to my auctioneering office. He's looking for a house.
Well, it's a wonder he wouldn't build one.
He's the kind to buy some ramshackly old farm. A house of character, the letter says.
And there's character, there's no convenience.
Joe McMonagle won't be too pleased to hear about Terry White.
He'll take more trouble over our interests, though.
I always said you were ahead of the hunt and the quick thinking, Muriel. I'll mention the old courthouse to Joe, too.
You should get rid of that old marble counter, Fonsy. It's very dated.
I am tired looking at it. It was there in my grandfather's time.
There's that stuff, the chromolite, much more tasteful.
Isn't it just our bad luck that can feel sick? Get him and Joe McMonagall together with us, and that old courthouse with its lion and unicorn will be rubble in a week.
Oh, poor Canon Freel. I think he's still under the doctor. I'll get Vera to give Peg Sweeney a ring and inquire after him. They're very thick together. Bally Lennon call office, number please.
Is that you, Vera?
Peg Sweeney.
Okay.
Wouldn't that amaze you? I was only lifting the phone to ring you myself.
That's talk transparency. I'm a great believer.
I was going to inquire after Canon Field. You remember I was asking if he'd join us on a deputation to the Minister for Posts and Telegraphs to request the retention of my exchange.
And the Canon wasn't fit to travel.
Is he any better now?
He's not. He's lying above on the bed, stretched out like a corpse. God forgive me, but a noisy one. He's well able to call out for his tea and baths, but he still won't be going on your deputation.
We won't be having it now.
No.
We're trying to get Muhammad to come to the mountain.
I'll tell that to the Canon. He might receive the minister at his bedside.
If this exchange goes in the automatic, Peg, I think I'd be missed.
You would, of course. No news ever passed you by, good or bad.
But what about the Canon?
4 days in bed with Dr. McGuigan. And he isn't doing him a bit of good.
Is it?
The smoking, of course.
Oh.
40 woodbines a day. I have to pretend the housekeeping money's all spent. Then if he's desperate, he sends me over to the sacristy to take a few bob out of the offerings for departed souls.
Do you tell me?
And Dr. McGuigan says he delivers like an old carpet.
Get away.
And hearing on the wires that Mr. Churchill is after taking a heart attack in Downing Street hasn't helped. They're the one age. And what I was to ring you about is the cruelty. I'll be round the town on Wednesday collecting for the cruelty.
I'll have a few pence put by.
Do you know what I'm thinking of doing to stop the Canon smoke?
What?
Did you ever hear tell of Mr. Duffy, the hypnotist in Dunfanaghy?
I think so, but doesn't he only do that to cure cattle?
Oh, no. He can hypnotize people, too. He's supposed to be great on the smoke.
You'd hardly get Father Freel to go to a hypnotist, Peg.
But I'll have to do something.
And isn't hypnotism going against religion?
Ah, hump that. Goodbye, Vera.
Thanks, Fonsy. Yes, just a finger, good man.
Flaunch it.
Slow in sugar syrup. So the statutory 10 phones on the manual exchange is likely to be exceeded, is that it?
That's it, Joe. You see, your department's closing down our exchange and transferring subscribers to the automatic. No bother, except that Miss McConkie will be out of a job. And that'll have an effect on our sister's shop, you know. People coming in to make a phone call or buy a tuppence halfpenny stamp, going on to purchase a newspaper or a few sweets, in the heat of the moment, like.
Impulse buying. I've studied that. There'd be economic deprivation, so.
Oh, there would. It'd be a terrible insult to the memory of their late father, Councillor Sawley McConkie.
A member of the party, was he?
A founder member.
Ah.
I mean, he had his little weakness, of course. Who hasn't?
Huh?
This.
Oh. And his two daughters?
Oh, neither of them touches a drop. Except perhaps a glass of port wine after a formal dinner.
No. I mean their affiliations.
They'll find our names on the annual list of subscribers. Aye, will you take another drop?
Yes.
Well, I hear Stumpy Bonner canvassing for you up the street.
Yes, slipping a few bob, and he enjoys the sound of his own voice.
There'd be trouble, so, if Vera McConkie lost the exchange.
No doubt about it. And with due respect, it'll reflect badly on the party. Indeed, not to go any further than this room.
Mm-hmm.
On yourself. For not taking a stand.
Mm. But that's not what you wanted to talk about.
Well, no. Well, but it is. I mean, it's hands-off, Ballylearn exchange. And that's the view of the people.
And there are no other issues?
Well, the Owl Courthouse, of course. It's the view of the people that it should be demolished. Well, the majority of the people. And isn't this a democracy?
There's some against?
There's some against, as you so rightly say. That Cabin of the Lion and Unicorn, there's some don't want rid of that. But, sure, the way the structure is at the minute, it'll fall down and injure a poor child crossing the street. Or maybe kill a crowd on a fair day.
So, what's the alternative?
Well, there's a very small body of opinion that it should be rebuilt and, you know, or some kind of an art centre.
Mm-hmm.
It's all wrong for an art centre. It's all doors and windows. There's nowhere to nail up a picture.
And who is this body of opinion?
Well, there's this young teacher, you wouldn't know her. Miss Bowles, she's full of fashionable ideas about preservation and restoration and every other kind of nation. Sure, if it's an art centre she wants, wouldn't it be far better to build a new one?
With public funds?
Well, I know of a very good site down by Crotty's Quay. I could lay my hands on that site at a very reasonable price. Oh, very, very reasonable, you know.
Hmm. And once the old courthouse was levelled?
A car park. Very convenient. Right in the centre of the square. Now, if you dance out of the window there, you can see how it would facilitate the people.
Uh-huh.
For not to put a tooth in it. If I am to support the national tourism plan in this hotel, where are the tourists going to park their cars?
I get you.
Ah, there's Stumpy Bonner. Canvassing for you with the loudspeaker.
That's not Stumpy Bonner's voice.
He must have hired a deputy.
My God, I didn't know Terry White was out canvassing yet.
But we'll stick by you, Joe. We'll stick by you.
Hello, Sharp.
Coming. My sister's out of devotions.
Oh, hello, Peg. Good evening, Vera. You never stop work.
I have to keep the lines open till 10 p.m. If I'm out the back where I can't hear the buzz of the phone, the old dog starts barking. Isn't that right, Snarly Gob? Oh, you poor old thing.
I'm collecting for the cruelty. But I take a packet of fig rolls for the cannon. They're good for the digestion.
I've a few coppers for the cruelty.
Ah, thanks.
Well, I wouldn't fancy a fig roll if I wasn't feeling up to the mark. I prefer a dry cracker.
Thanks, you're very good. Well, I went to see Mr. Duffy, the way I said.
The hypnotist? How are you feeling after it?
Dazed. I walked back from the bus terminus like a zombie.
And did he really hypnotise you?
How do I know? But he certainly did something to me. I was mortified. I thought I'd be alone, but there were three others in the waiting room. A wee mousy man with a light moustache
A big woman with her dress spitting under the armpits, in for overeating, I'd say. And a big, tall Mickey Dazzler, the like of General de Gaulle, with the twitches.
The twitches?
Every time a knocker come to the door, his leg would fly up and he'd kick the sideboard. Oh. Well, your man, Mr. Duffy, started by asking me a lot of personal questions, which I didn't think had to do with smoking at all.
But you don't smoke, Peg.
Oh, well, I do. I might take one over a cup of tea on a Friday when I'm reading the horoscope on the Vindicator, and sometimes I might light up if I'm a long time on the phone to the married sister in Bootle. So I could genuinely say to the hypnotist that I am a smoker. There, he started dangling an old-fashioned watch in front of my face.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
Well, it put me cross-eyed. What do you see now, Sissy? Two of everything, says I. Then you're going back to the house where you were born, Sissy. What do you see? Suddenly, I thought I was in the house I was brought up in. I could see my mother as plain as I can see that weighing scale.
Oh, and what was she doing?
She was standing at the sink, cutting a rabbit. Anyway, I must have dozed off, for the next thing I remember, I was back in the waiting room beside General de Gaulle, and he lashing around with his feet. The funny thing is, when I opened the Vindicator that evening for a good read, I didn't feel like a smoke at all.
It worked.
It worked on me, Vera. But now that I've experienced it, can I make it work on Canon Friel? That's the question.
Oh, please, God, it will.
I'll bring him up the plate of soup he likes for his supper, and I might start him then.
You'll have to find something to wag for Nancy's eyes.
Would it be right to swing a thurible?
An airquist might be the thing. Oh, there's the switchboard inside.
I think of something.
Look, I have to go. Good night, Ted.
All the best, Vera. My goodness, if they took that switchboard off of you, you'd have no enjoyment in life.
Ah, who's a good dog? Sit quiet there, Snarlycub, and let me answer the phone.
Swilly Arms. Hello?
Is that you, Fonzie?
Is it yourself, Joe? And who are you doing? And how's the electioneering?
Okay. I'm ringing you from Dublin. I sent down for the file on the Ballylennon exchange, Fonzie.
I knew you'd be as good as your word, Joe. And I said that to Vera McConkey, too.
Well, you see, under the current act, once the number goes above 10, it's taken over by the regional exchange. And the bloody shame is, these new machines never seem to work.
You're right there, Joe. So Vera McConkey's betting on any machine.
Yes, I have the file in front of me now. It says she has a 10-line switch, all right. But the crux is that there's an application for an 11th. And the department can't connect an 11th subscriber without transferring the whole shebang to the automatic.
The 11th?
It says here that the application for the 11th line is you.
Well, you see, Joe, when I applied for that phone, it never crossed my mind how many were on the switch already. You see, I need a second phone for my auctioneering business. Now, up to now, I've used the phone here in the hotel, but I'm expanding. You wouldn't believe the number of people looking for houses at the moment. And I'll tell you this much more. You know, Terry White's looking for a house.
What?
He says he wants to be right in the middle of the constituency, you know.
Thank God.
So you see, I applied for a phone for the auctioneering, and then your Mr. O'Brolicon comes down here with a fistful of files, tells Miss McConkey he has to take her off the switchboard. Well, I mean, I couldn't tell her. It was all on account of me looking for a new phone. Now, could I?
You could not. So, what do we do?
Oh, I hear the daughter's getting married.
She is indeed. One of the McKeown's. They were always good party men.
Where's the reception, if I may ask?
It's not fixed yet, but I think we'll hold it at the Foil View.
Oh, that'll cost you an arm and a leg.
I'm telling you.
I'm having this place done up. Completely renovated. Now, I'm getting a grant from the Tourism Committee, you see. You could hold the reception here. And welcome.
100 guests. Can you give me a quote?
Oh, I'd let you off very light. Very light.
Well, let's see now. First of all, withdraw your application for the new phone.
Withdraw it?
Withdraw it officially on the printed form. I'll see you get the phone anyway. And Miss McConkie can retain the exchange with 10 numbers. I couldn't let down a person of her background and loyalty.
But I'd be Ballylennon 11.
You will not. You'll be unlisted. There'll be no record of your new phone. It won't exist. And if I have any truck for Mr. O'Brolla Coyne, I'll have them transferred from Post and Telegraphs to Pigs and Poultry. Yeah?
I'll say nothing, Joe.
Here aren't we all in it together?
Dear, why did that civil servant come to inspect your switchboard in the first place? It just struck me. You won't exceed in the quota of 10 lines or anything.
There must have been someone looking for an extra line unbeknownst.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's the phone. It's time I closed down the switch for the night. Hello, Ballylennon call office.
Hello, Mrs. McConkie.
It's late for you to be ringing, Mr. Doherty.
I can't speak out, the bar's full of people. I had a call from himself, you know.
The minister?
The very man. Well, good news for you about, you know.
The exchange.
Keep your voice down. It's all fixed. We'll say no more. But there's another thing. He's very worried about,
the election? Terry White?
Shush. Well, Joe got the wind up, so he's going to hold a few meetings around the constituency to get to know the people, like. Of course, he should have done that months ago. And I said he was welcome to meet the committee of the Development Association.
Isn't he a kind of honorary member, anyway?
Well, you can pass that on to your sister, and she can notify the others.
I will at once. How did you manage to swing the exchange?
Wait a minute. Tell your sister it's for tomorrow night, and if the notice is too short for some of them, that might be just as well.
Very good, Mr. Doherty. But I'm dying to
know. All in good time, Miss McConkie. All in good time.
I was meaning to ask, Mr. Minister, what plans the government have for culture in the provincial centres. We have a number of very worthwhile projects here, but we don't seem to get very much support.
Minister, this is Miss Bowl, well known in musical circles.
I'm also a historian and archivist.
Oh, yes, yes, there's nothing cultural Miss Bowl doesn't have a hand in.
Well, Miss Bowl, you may be sure that I'm working very closely with my colleagues in this matter, and anything which you may care to submit will be carefully studied.
The minister might not know, Mr. Chairman.
Good, Gallagher, Minister.
That the plans are going ahead here for an opera festival. Can you give us any idea of how we could get funds to cover our costs? You see, I was hoping that the singers would come without charging a fee, just for the experience, like. But I didn't get any replies to my letters. And then there's the cost of the scenery.
Did you apply to the Arts Council for a grant?
I did, but the lady there wrote back to say that there was enough offers going on already.
If I may say so, Mr. Chairman, that was a very bureaucratic response. We have first-class talent. Mr. Gallagher here beside me is too modest to say that he's won many prizes for singing. And my choir, the Unity Singers, is this very evening getting to grips with Guno and other appropriate composers.
Shouldn't you be getting back to them, Miss Bowl? I mean, they'd hardly be able to practice without you.
I have a very reliable deputy conductor, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Miss Bowl, Mr. Gallagher, you may be sure I'll make representations on your behalf.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes? Oh, Miss Muriel McConkie.
Just to support the idea of a festival for Ballylennon. But I think we should have traditional music and dancing.
Miss McConkie is an old step dancer, Minister.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, used to be. But I retain the interest, and the tourists love to see it.
That's right. And I'm sure the Minister agrees that tourism is the common thing.
Indeed, economically and culturally, that is so. And I want this committee to know that my interests are always here, despite having to be up in Dublin. And if they change the position of the goalposts, I'll be there to put them back.
And let us not forget that the Minister's mother's people were natives of Ballylennon, and are all lying below in St. Lennon's graveyard, which is where they should be. Now, Mr. McMonagall has to go on to address the committee of the fish market co-op. So, if there are any further questions...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Miss Bowl?
I was wondering, Mr. Minister, if you have any influence with your colleague, the Minister for Local Government, in the matter of the preservation of historic buildings.
The Minister has influence everywhere.
Our own courthouse is the subject of a controversy, as you might have read, Mr. Minister. I know I speak for many citizens of Ballylennon in the hope that it might be restored to some useful purpose.
Miss Bull has a point, Minister. But we all know that our building is in a highly dangerous condition.
It could be made safe.
I'm sure the Minister will note your remarks, Miss Bull. Sensitive issue, Joe.
Yes, madam. I see that the matter is brought to the attention of the appropriate department at a suitable time.
Oh, well, I just thought the matter should be discussed.
Quite right, too, Miss Bull. Oh, yes. The Minister has taken note of it. Am I right?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Well, we're all sorry the Minister's visit is so short. And in thanking him for his attendance here tonight, I'd like to add that we're delighted to see him back among his own people. And we hope he'll be buried among us, too. Oh, but not for many years. No. Not for many years.
Ballylennon call office. Number, please.
Hello, Vera. This is Peg. Do you want to hear the latest bulletin on the Canon's health?
Well, you sound in good spirits, Peg. Is he improving?
Well, I've been housekeeping for 6 years, and I've never seen him better. Do you know what he was doing today? Playing handball up against the back wall of the parish house. Do you know what I did?
I'd be afraid to guess.
The last few days, when I'd take up the bowl of soup, I'd wait till he was a bit drowsy. And while I'd be tidying the hearth, I'd flicker the firelight on his face off the little brass shovel. Then, when he'd be dropping off, I'd give out about the cigarettes.
Give out?
Like a catechism. What is the greatest danger to health, I'd say. And then I'd reply, the greatest danger to health is those dirty old fags. And I'd keep on at it till it really sunk in.
And he didn't catch you on?
Well, the first time he suddenly sat up and said, Pegsy, what are you raving about? So without a demur, I just told him that if he went on at the smoking, he wouldn't last. He cooperated from then on.
Aren't you great?
Of course, I blushed a few fingers of whiskey into the soup. That put him into the drowsy humour. Anyway, between the whiskey and the hypnotism, he's a changed man.
Well, I've grand news for you too. I'm keeping the exchange.
Oh, we're great, the pair of us. We should be out ringing bells, phone bells, and church bells too.
Excuse me! Excuse me, what?
Oh, sorry, guard. Didn't hear you.
We got no word down at the barracks that the street was to be dug up. Where are you from?
Oh, Ballyshannon.
No. Who are you with?
Oh, the Post and Telegraph. I've instructions to lay a cable into that hotel for a new phone.
Ah, that's all right. As long as you don't obstruct the thoroughfare.
I'll only be a couple of hours. I don't know why head office didn't send you the notification.
Ah, carry on. Grand weather, isn't it? Were you at the match on Sunday?
Oh, no, but I heard it in the wireless. Wasn't it wild? I'd say there were a few cases for the county hospital after.
Great sport entirely.
Good morning, guard.
Mind your step, Miss Bull.
Are we getting in the pipe water at last?
That's the phone. Mr. Doherty must be getting in another phone.
That couldn't be, because we're only allowed 10 phones here. Yes. Unless Mr. Frawley has given up his and moving back to England, which I very much doubt.
Are you sure it's the phone you're putting in, not the water?
Oh, it's the phone. I have it in a wee box in the van.
Well, I suppose we live in the age of technological advance.
Hello?
Is that you, Joe?
Eh?
Fonsy Doherty here.
Oh, how are you, Fonsy?
I'm righty. I want to thank you for the new phone. I'm speaking on it now. Yes, I have it here in my auctioneer's office.
That's okay, Fonsy.
There's a little thing, but...
What's that?
Are you on your own?
I am.
Your phone's not listened to.
No. You can speak easy.
Well, some busybody noted the line being put in. You know how the word gets around. They'll all be asking, how is it I have the 11th phone when the exchange is only allowed 10?
Those installation boys, they should have been more discreet.
Could be very awkward. There'd be questions about how I came by the 11th.
not as many as if it became known that the ideal site for a new art centre at Crotty's Quay is land owned by you.
Huh? So how would it be known? Ah, well, I must go now. I have to show a house to Terry White.
What? Is he still around?
Oh, yes. He seems determined to settle. I showed him some old rickety houses, thinking he'd go away, and he kept saying they had possibilities. Could you credit that?
All too well I could.
Well, there you are now. So, what'll I do about this phone?
I'll think about it. Terry White. I'll be back to you.
Well, here you are, Miss Bold. 2 cubes of OXO and 1 ounce of Dolly Mixtures. 7th and Halfpenny.
I see Mr. Doherty has a new phone in.
Yes. And 4 pence halfpenny. Thank you, now.
I suppose that means the whole system is going automatic.
Oh, I wouldn't know. No. It's my sister who runs the exchange. Good morning, Peg. It's a grand day. Goodbye, Miss Bold.
Goodbye.
I'm only passing, Miss McConkie.
Sweeney.
Good day, Miss Bold.
She's having OXO for soup and Dolly Mixtures for dessert.
Ooh, Bold. Well, I promised your sister I'd let her know about the cannon. He's not so well.
No?
Arapals.
Oh. Well, come on inside. Vera's at the switchboard. Vera! Peg's after telling me Cannon feels after taking a relapse.
Is he bad? I thought you said he was out playing handball.
He was only doing it under the influence of the hypnotism. And when the effect wore off, he was back up on the bed. I think he's a candidate for St. Joseph's now. Dr. McGuigan's coming up to listen in on his lungs this evening.
Excuse me. Number, please?
Would you put me through to Mr. Number 11, please?
Hold on.
Hello?
Hello. This is... you know.
Oh, yes, yes. I get you, Joe.
Shh. Well, I've that little matter fixed. It took a big decision.
It did, Joe.
Shh.
I thought you said your phone was...
Shh. You couldn't be sure. Well, I found out a thing I didn't know. I'm empowered to make a ministerial order. So I've ordered that 15 is going to be the statutory number for all manual exchanges throughout the country.
You tell me.
I do. But I'm looking for something in return.
You've only got to say it, Joe.
Since you're so well in with this Miss McConkie, you can let her know that any information she can gather about a certain gentleman of the opposition party...
Whose name rhymes with...
When he moves into the neighbourhood and, I assume, becomes the 12th subscriber on her switch... Well, do you get me?
I do, of course.
I'll say no more. Bye.
Hello? Are you finished, caller?
Oh, hello, operator. Miss McConkie. There's a little thing I need to discuss with you.
That's all right, Mr. Doherty. I got it all. You needn't say a word.
In episode 3 of Barry Lennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonzie Doherty was T.P. McKenna. Muriel McConkie was Margaret Darcy, and Vera McConkie was Stella McCusker. Vivian Bull was Anya McCartney, Guard Gallagher, John Hewitt, Peg Sweeney, Anna Manahan, Joe McMonagall, Kevin Flood, and the post office engineer, Robert Patterson. The music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes, and the series is directed by Owen O'Callaghan.